Melissa, thank you for sharing that this morning and being so authentic. I love these testimonies where people are being real and just sharing their heart of what the Lord is helping them to overcome. And we've been going through quite a series here for the last several months, two, three months, of how to overcome certain things in our life. You're welcome to look on our website for the different ones that we have. We've talked about overcoming fear, overcoming jealousy, overcoming greed, overcoming anger, all the different things. This morning, we're on overcoming loneliness. Now, loneliness, there's been some surveys out there. In fact, loneliness is an epidemic in the world. If this were a cancer or some other sort of highly contagious disease out there, there would be a scrambling around for a cure for this. Scientists would be trying to come up with different inoculations and what have you. Loneliness is an epidemic in the world, but it's not anything that you can necessarily inoculate with medicines. There's some recent surveys, and I'm going to put some numbers up on the board here so you can see on the screen, so you'll get an idea of how rampant that it is. Loneliness, nearly half of Americans, about 46%, report sometimes or always feeling lonely. One out of every two, just about. One out of every four, or roughly 27%, rarely or never feel as though there are people who really understand them. Two in five report not having any meaningful relationships, roughly 30% or thereabouts, between 25 and 30%. One in five, about 20%, report rarely or never feeling close to people or feel like that they can talk to people. Only about half say they have meaningful in-person social interactions. And those social interactions, what I'm talking about is extended conversations with friends or quality time with family, so that meaningful time together, to have it on a daily basis, only about half of those that were surveyed say that they have that. And Generation Z, which is the adults between the ages of 18 and 20-something, are the loneliest generation. In fact, it's interesting that although they are the loneliest, they also have the highest percentage of social media engagement, which I think is an interesting dynamic. We have more ways to connect, and there's more people to connect to in the world today than ever before, and yet there are more lonely people than ever before. The inventors of the internet, you see that www at the front of everything, and that stands for World Wide Web. So you have this picture, this web that is worldwide and connecting to everybody. The inventors of the World Wide Web and the social media platforms pride themselves in how it allows people to connect to anyone, anywhere in the world, and yet the connections that we have there and really most everywhere are a mile wide and an inch deep anymore. There's an article in Newsweek that states it this way. It says, social networking sites like Facebook and MySpace provide people with a false sense of connection that ultimately increases loneliness in people who feel alone. You know, there's a lot of chattering that goes on in these applications. That chattering, though, that goes on, that back and forth banter, it's not the same as the genuine, authentic communication that we must and need to have as who we're actually created to be. In fact, those sort of things are a mask. They're a veil. They're a barrier. They're really, at times, a distraction from our loneliness. You know, we can be in a room full of crowded people and still feel very lonely. In fact, as we look around here today, I would highly predict that you may be one of those here today that in this great big room filled with a bunch of people that you are feeling utterly alone. You know, loneliness and aloneness, by the way, aren't the same thing. There's loneliness and then there's aloneness. It's actually good to be alone sometimes. In fact, it's a healthy practice to find times of aloneness where you can reflect on your life and really allow the Lord to speak to your heart. Such things as prayer closets and walking around the park and those quiet places to reflect wherever that may be and experience God's peace. I know that I've been there. I've done that. I would highly recommend that you would do the same thing. Those are really healthy habits to refresh your soul. It's all right to be alone at times. But aloneness is entirely different than loneliness. And there's multiple reasons why we feel lonely. Whether it's moving maybe into a new city, maybe starting a new job, maybe going to a new school. I know there's a lot of young people that, students who go from elementary to middle school or middle school to high school, and you go to a different school, and it's a different dynamic. You got to start all over again, and there's so many teenagers that feel lonely, yet they're surrounded by, you know, hundreds or potentially thousands of students. It's ironic. There's even some times where there's sickness and other physical debilitating issues that can make us feel lonely. I know that as people are in the hospital or in nursing homes or shut in their homes because they just can't get out, and people maybe start visiting them and then they stop visiting them after a while and they just become alone. They become lonely. Other people are out and about doing their thing, physically able to get out, but those that are recuperating or trying to adjust to their new norm are limited and incapacitated, and they feel lonely. Struggling relationships is another reason why we feel lonely. You can have a struggling relationship with your children, with your spouse, with other friends, family members that can make you feel lonely. As the misunderstandings and hurt occur and the communication breaks down, there's arguments that take place, there's disagreements, there's angry words that are exchanged, there's an isolation, and this long-term separation results where people don't pick up the phone and reach out to anybody for days, weeks, months, and even years. I did a funeral just not too long ago where a family member was estranged from one of their closest loved ones. The gentleman who passed away hadn't spoken with his children for years and years and years. And only in the last few years before he passed away did they have some semblance of reconciliation. But yet through that time where there was that separation, there was a loneliness. There was a loneliness that was there. And it's a shame that so many years of closeness and companionship are lost when these estranged family members experience loneliness and everything that it accompanies that loneliness. You know, there's multiple examples even in God's Word of those who felt lonely. You think about King David. If you read the book of Psalms, I'll tell you, it's chock full of him being lonely, him feeling isolated. He was in a cave a lot of times being pursued by King Saul and looking over his shoulder constantly with the threat of death. And he expressed it often in his writings, in the Psalms and the songs that he wrote of his loneliness. The prophet Elijah, if you know that story, man, he was fresh off of that victory from the prophets of Baal and King Ahab and Jezebel. And Jezebel said, all right, well, I'm going to kill you. And so he ran off and he got into this place where he just wanted to die because he felt so alone and in despair. Even Jesus felt lonely. You think about one of the last things that he said when he cried on the cross. He looked around at his greatest hour of need when all of his friends had abandoned him, and he even felt that God had left him, and he cried out, Father, why have you forsaken me? See, even Jesus knows what loneliness feels like, and Jesus understands your loneliness. You know, loneliness can lead to withdrawal. It can produce paranoia in our lives. It can give us a low self-esteem. Physical illness can take place. We can just get sick from just being lonely. Despair and anxiety and depression. There's even some people who have thoughts of suicide and even some who've followed through with it because of loneliness. If you're feeling lonely today, if you're caught in that web of despair and depression and you just feel stuck in your loneliness, I want to encourage you today that there's a way out. There's a way out. There's a way to overcome your loneliness. I want you to do something with me this morning. I want you to get out your pens and a piece of paper. If you're taking notes, great. You already have that out. If not, I want you to get something, and I want you to write down this one word. I want you to write down this one word. It's this one word. It's the core. It's the hub. It's the center of what we're going to be talking about this morning, and the word is refocus. Write it down, refocus. Put it on your phone, type it in, refocus. Put it in your notes, do something, write that down. Refocus. You see, it's all about refocusing. I want to explain to you what I mean by that. Now, the world will tell us that our life is all about us. Be happy, live your life pleasurably, get the things for you that you want. Get out there, get it, go for the gusto, be happy. Don't worry, be happy. Just be happy. Just be happy. All about you. And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, it's good to be happy. It's not like, you know, as Christians, we're supposed to be not happy. But the world will tell you that your happiness comes from the things that you can do for you. You know, our flesh embraces that theology and we go about pursuing what feels good for us and what benefits us. We want happiness. We want love. We want pleasure. We want accolades. We want comfort. We want all of those things, and the flesh loves that. And again, there's a place for those things to a point. And at first glance, you think, well, what's the big deal? But if we live our lives purely for our own self-gratification, we're going to fall well short of why we were created. Stay with me here. Now, the evening news will never tell you what I'm getting ready to share with you this morning. You'll not find it in your secular school books, which, by the way, your secular school books, parents, listen to this. And this is another message, but I'm going to get off into it in just a second. Your secular school books are going to push the lie of evolution. And I'm going to talk about that sometime soon, about evolution and how it's infiltrated even into the church, where we believe some things that we ought not to believe. And the devil doesn't care if your kids are being exposed, if actually you're even being exposed to creation theology here, because Satan gets your kids 5 days a week for how many hours in that day? And it's just drilled into them, and on the internet, and on TV, and in the conversations, and everything that's out there, it's all about evolution. It's a settled belief in this nation, but it's a lie. See, that's a little separate message that's free of charge. Okay, I won't charge you for that one this morning, and we're going to get to that one sometime down the road. But just so you know, I want to whet your appetite for that one, because I'm going to get into that. We're going to stick our teeth into that one sometime soon. The news is not going to tell you, society's not going to tell you, school's not going to teach it, your pre-Christian friends don't even have a clue as to what I'm getting ready to talk about here this morning, but God's Word has the remedy for your chronic loneliness, and it's found in this really interesting scripture that I'm going to read to you in just a second, because you see, as a follower of Jesus Christ, how many is a follower of Jesus Christ this morning? Okay, as a follower of Jesus Christ, whether you're lonely this morning or not, you're a follower of Jesus Christ, and as such, you're part of God's kingdom of priests. Now stay with me. As you're a part of God's kingdom of priests, as such, you have a role to play in His kingdom that goes far beyond anything that this world has to offer. I'm going to read to you a scripture found in 1 Peter 2:9, and it says this. Very common scripture, very familiar. In fact, there's a song that goes with that that we sing sometimes in worship. You're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His wonderful light. In that scripture is found our remedy and our cure for overcoming loneliness. You ready to dig into it? You with me this morning? Okay, are you with me this morning? Amen. Now, in order to find out what this is talking about, we got to go back for just a moment to the Old Testament and find out what the function of the Old Testament priests were all about, that was to connect the Jewish people with God. The priest in the Old Testament primary role was to connect the Jewish people, God's chosen people, with God. The law was very clear that the priests were to be from the tribe of Levi. We know that there was 12 tribes of Israel. One of the tribes was Levi. Say that with me, Levi. It's very important, because that word Levi, every word, every name that was named, every son that was named in that tribe, there was a meaning to that name. You know what the meaning of Levi means? This is where it starts getting interesting. I want you to write this down as well if you're taking notes. The word Levi means to connect. It means to join together. Write it down. To connect or join together. So you see, what you have is, as we're Old Testament, as we are the royal priesthood, the New Testament Jewish kingdom priest. We are the kingdom priest in the New Testament. In the Old Testament, there were strict rules in place of how and when and who could approach God on behalf of the people. But then Jesus came on the scene and He changed all of that. And there's this interesting scripture in the book of Mark that accounts, as part of the account of the death of Jesus on the cross, that includes this curious statement. It's found only here. Mark chapter 15, verse 37 and 38 says this: with a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last breath. He had just died on the cross. And what happened just after that? Someone took note that the curtain of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom. Interesting, it's the only time it shows up as a descriptive. What's the significance of, first off, the temple curtain? Why was it there? Well, this curtain was there to separate the people from the Holy of Holies. Only certain priests were allowed to step into that sacred place, and only at certain times, and only under certain qualifications and restrictions. And what God did at that point, at that moment, when Jesus breathed his last and he said, "It is finished," powerful words. In ripping open the curtain, God communicated that the old priestly order had ended. And so now that we are now the priest, we are the Levites, we are the connecting, joining ones, we are the ones to join together the people to God. You get that? Are you still with me? Okay, so what does this mean? It means that together, all of us together, are in our higher calling as followers of Christ, are a royal priesthood. What did Peter say? You are a royal priesthood, a chosen generation. It means that we're a royal priesthood. We're charged, as the Old Testament Levites were, with connecting people to God. And we're empowered to do so by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit's very purpose in us is to join together people to God. He's called us to go and preach the gospel, didn't he? What's the gospel? The good news. What's the good news? Jesus died and he rose again for your sins. That's the good news. We're joining people to God, aren't we? Back to God. God's plan is for you and me to proactively means to look for it, live our lives as priestly calling. And as we do, we can attack head on the feelings of loneliness that come knocking at our door and others. So when, not if, you feel lonely, if today you are, remember that you have a Levitical calling to connect people with God. And intentionally living in your priestly calling is going to help you overcome your loneliness. I want you to say this phrase with me. It's going to be up on the screen. I want you to say it out loud. Say it. I am a New Testament Levitical Kingdom priest. Say it. I am a New Testament Levitical Kingdom priest. Write that down. Keep it on the screen. Say it again. I am a New Testament Levitical Kingdom priest. I bet you've never said that before. First time you've ever said it. Why would I say that? Because that's what you are. That's what I am. Would you imagine that this would be the cure for loneliness? I mean, it is. It's not hanging out with people. It's not, you know, getting a hobby. It's not doing things like that. It's realizing that you're a New Testament Levitical Kingdom priest and what that role entails in your life. Being a kingdom priest, it gives us an opportunity to connect in three distinct ways. And I want you to take some notes here, write these three things down. We're going to spend the rest of our time here today looking at these three areas. The first one is this. The first is connecting with God. If we're to connect as a Levite, a New Testament Levite, the Old Testament Levite priest in the Old Testament, his singular focus and purpose was to worship and to serve God. That's why he existed. That was his role. He daily, regularly, passionately, intentionally connected with God. In fact, once a year he would enter into the Holy of Holies and he would tie a rope around his ankle. You know why he did that? Because if he entered into God's presence and he had sin in his heart, that man, that priest would drop dead in God's presence, and when there wasn't much motion after a while, they just would pull him out by the rope, because they weren't going to go in and get him. They would die too. So they just pulled him out by the rope. So it was very important that the priest had a pure heart in his connection with God. And it's the same with us. As New Testament Levitical Kingdom priests, we're called to connect with God as intentionally. So how can we connect with God? Well, Melissa actually touched on that in her testimony in the video just for a little bit. It's really not rocket science. She's like, how do I connect with God? Is some magical formula? Is there some unattainable thing? No, no, no. It's simple. It's just getting in there and being very aware of his presence through faithful study of Scripture, through daily times of prayer, and our intentional worship and communion with him, and we can grow closer and connect with God. It's just intentionally pursuing him one-on-one. If you feel lonely, pursue God and connect with God first. That's your primary responsibility and primary pursuit. Pursue Christ. Now, the thing is there's a lot of distraction to keep us from doing this. I know. I'm in that same boat. We get our calendars all filled up with so much stuff that God gets the scraps, if that. But as New Testament Levitical kingdom priests, we have a calling and responsibility to connect with God. And here's the thing. I can't connect to God for you. Your spouse cannot connect God. Your parents can't connect you to God. Your friends can't connect you to God. You know, you have to do it for yourself. No one's going to do it for you. That's why we're called to have this relationship with Jesus Christ. It's a personal relationship. I have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. That's his goal for you. Let that be your goal as well. There's absolutely no excuse in this day and age for us to not connect with God in these ways of prayer and through his word. Folks, there's a lot of podcasts of Bible teachings out there. Plug it into your phone, you know, listen to it on your way to work or while you're doing your work around the house or whatever. There's some worship music in its various genres and ways of communicating with you, to deliver to you worship, Christian books, your prayer closet, your Bible, so much more. I mean, they're right there at your fingertips to connect with God. Go for it. It's never been easier to connect with God, and yet we just do it so rarely. It's like what we talked about with the social media. We've never been more connected, or at least potentially more connected, and yet so disconnected from God because it takes an effort on our part. James 4:8 says, if you'll come near to God, he's going to come near to you. See the order there? If you come near to God, he's going to come near to you. Now, I just want to say this. God has promised that he's never going to leave us or forsake us. He said that he's always there. He's always has been there. He always will be there. His word promises that. But there's this sense of, okay, God is with me, but yet drawing near to him goes beyond the understanding that he's always with you. There's a difference here. I'll give you an example. You know, you can walk 100 miles with someone right by their side and never say a word to them. It's possible for you to walk 100 miles with someone and never say a word to them. You know they're there. You appreciate their company, but you never engage. You never connect. You never join together. He's just there. It's like being here in this room with all these people. You know, you walk in, and I see this happen often. Folks walk in late, and they leave early, and they never connect. I don't know why. They just don't. You walk in, and you can even sit down next to a person. I've heard this, too, where I sat in front of you for a year, and I never knew your name. How does that happen? But we do it. It's just unbelievable, isn't it, that we can be in a room like this, and we can be in the body of Christ. We experience the time with everyone. We experience the same, you know, teaching and worship and all of that, and we walk out without not once engaging with anybody around us. You're with folks, but you never really come near to them. It's interesting. You know, Jesus modeled this drawing near, this connecting for us, as he repeatedly states in the Gospels that Jesus regularly went away to spend time with his Father. Regularly went away to spend time with his Father. He connected with God. He realized that where his strength came from was from his relationship and his connection with God. He realized that in his Father there was no loneliness. So he went away alone, but he wasn't lonely. See, there's that place of being alone, but he wasn't lonely because he went to connect with God. He cultivated and maintained a loving, intimate relationship with his Father. He derived strength and purpose and help and encouragement and direction from time with his Father. In the tough times, God was there lifting him up, redirecting his gaze upon his lovely face. In times of uncertainty, God brought assurance that all was well. In despair, he was comforted by God's strong hand, and the same goes with us. In tough times, in times of uncertainty, in times of despair, when you feel like withdrawing and your self-esteem is low and you're anxious or you're depressed, I would encourage you, come close to God and he will come close to you. And as the old song lyric says, he's as close as the mention of his name. You know, this is the source of our strength. It's the core of who we are in our New Testament Levitical kingdom priestly calling. And out of it, we can most effectively live out the next two ways that we've been called to connect and overcome our loneliness. And here's the second aspect of what the New Testament Levitical kingdom priestly engagement was, is that they engaged in connecting with fellow believers. Now, the Levites in the Old Testament were responsible not only to connect with God on people's behalf, but also to connect with the people of God. They reached out to them in ministry. They taught them scripture. They prayed with them. They encouraged them in difficult times. A lot of like what my role is, if you think about it, as the pastor of the church. But guess what? That's not my role exclusively. All of us are called to do what I'm doing right here. I just happen to be behind the pulpit holding the microphone today, but all of us are encouraged to pray with one another, to teach scripture to one another, to encourage one another, and to reach out to them in ministry. All of us are called to do that in the body of Christ. And as New Testament kingdom priests, I encourage you to do this. How do you do it? Well, we attend worship services like we're doing here today, but also truly connect with folks while you're here. Step out a little bit. Launch out and say, I think I want to get to know one or two people. It's important and it's healthy. Go to a Bible study or a small group. We have a lot of them here. Opportunities to get engaged in smaller groups like that, enjoying times of fellowship at church functions, which we have all the time here, or maybe a small group in your home, which we also have some of those. Also serving alongside others at events here or maybe out in the community. I just want to give a quick advertisement to this Saturday. This is a prime example, perfect opportunity. This Saturday, be here at 9 o'clock. Be here at 9 o'clock. Give me 2 hours. Give the Lord 2 hours of your time. 2 hours from 9 to 11. If you'll come here 9 o'clock on Saturday, we'll have an address, we'll have a bag of food, we'll have some instructions, we'll pray with you guys, and then you'll get to go deliver some food and pray with them as well, those that you drop off the food. It's simple. It's what I'll call low-hanging fruit opportunity. And there's a lot of families that we've connected with already in this community that are looking forward and very thankful and grateful that we're delivering them a Thanksgiving meal this Saturday. And all you have to do is just show up here this Saturday and engage with some folks and then engage in the community. That will be a cure for your loneliness right there, to just connect, to connect. Please do that this Saturday. Other opportunities that are in your bulletin and you hear from the pulpit quite often for you to be able to engage not only inside the church but outside. You know, we have this Wednesday night small groups, couples class. We thoroughly enjoy that. Getting together with some of the folks, and some of you work, but if you don't have anything going on Wednesday nights, come into the small groups that we have on Wednesday nights. We have, for every age and stage of life, an opportunity for you to get together in a small group. Starts at 6:30. Come on down. And it lasts for about an hour, and it'll help you to not feel so lonely, and it'll help you to engage as we connect with one another. I'll advertise too. Kelly has a great class that meets on Sunday mornings called Heart to Heart. And there's ladies that every Sunday give a testimony for about an hour, and they just share what the Lord's done in their lives as a testimony to how God's been faithful, brought them through. They meet right over here in the prayer room back here. It starts at 9 o'clock. We have other sorts of things that are going here at 9 o'clock as well. Come a little bit early. Go to these small groups. Go in there and grab a donut, cup of coffee, have some more fellowship, come in here. You know, it's good. It's all right. Come be part of what the Lord is doing here. There's a lot of opportunities to engage with one another and be that New Testament Levitical kingdom priest that God's called us to do. You can look at the bullets on the website, other sorts of things that are going on. The Bible actually reinforces that by saying in Hebrews 10:25, let us not give up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but let's encourage one another. There you go. There's that word, encourage one another. And all the more as you see the day approaching. Jesus is coming soon. And I think we need to get together more and more as we see the day approaching based on what that scripture just says. And all the more as you see that day approaching. Not less, but more. So as New Testament Levitical kingdom priests, we have a responsibility and a calling by God to connect with other believers for their edification. Not yours, but theirs. And as you edify them, guess what's going to happen? You're going to be edified. And as you encourage them, guess what's going to happen? You'll be encouraged. And as you minister to them, guess what's going to happen? You'll be ministered to. Yeah, you get the pattern. There you go. It's the antidote against loneliness, which brings us to our third and final area that we're called to connect, and that's reaching out to people who don't yet know the Lord. Again, such as this Saturday and other opportunities like that. Now, the Old Testament Levitical priests didn't just connect to God and connect with other believers, but they were also called to be a representative to the world of God's love, God's power, His holiness, His hope, His goodness, forgiveness, His life. And as New Testament kingdom priests, our role is the same. Now, no one would argue in this place today that this world is hurting. And no one would argue that there's so many lonely folks who are so desperate for love and companionship that they'll just do anything. They search it out in bars. They search it out online. They search it out on the streets. They search it out in clubs. They just go everywhere they can. Or they medicate their loneliness with drugs and alcohol, or appease it with material things. They hook up with one-night stands, or they spend countless hours on social media. And they search far and wide to fill the emptiness that they feel with anything and everything that the world has to offer, but yet they experience profound loneliness. The answer, the question is why? And the answer is because there's a God-shaped hole in all of us that only God can fill. As the New Testament kingdom priests, we can reach out to connect people who don't know the Lord. I love to call people like that just pre-Christians. Just pre-Christians. There's no sinners out there. They're all just pre-Christians. Amen. That's in faith believing. That's the speaking out in faith. We can connect them, people who don't know the Lord. We can meet them where they are, and we can lead them towards the answer that they've been searching for in Christ. We can get involved in our community by volunteering for social organizations that are out there. Folks, there's all kinds of them here. As we find our ways to humbly love and to serve people that you meet, there's the Dream Center. It's a men's the Dream Center is for it's for folks that need help and need a hand up. There's a Havens Men's Homeless Shelter here in Rock Hill, Tender Hearts Women's Homeless Shelter. There's Meals on Wheels. I know Brother Nixon delivers meals every week to folks in our community. Meals on Wheels is one. I know that Jane Willis goes and takes her service dog. Is that what you, service dog? Therapy dog. I knew that one, right? Therapy dog to minister to people in hospitals. And just, boy, there's nothing like people just love petting that dog. And Jane just uses that as an opportunity to share Christ. I just want to encourage you that the opportunities are endless for you to visit nursing homes and people in the hospital and shut-ins and prisons. And the list goes on and on. To extend yourself out to it's not just all about you. As God puts people in places on your heart, pray for them and with them, and then reach out to connect with them. There's an old phrase that says that I don't care how much you know until I know how much you care. Nobody's ever heard that. John 15:13, Jesus actually puts it a different way. He says, greater love has no man than he lay down his life for a friend. You know, loving others in your New Testament kingdom priestly role is a surefire cure against loneliness. There's this natural inclination that when you're feeling lonely, that you might just want to pull back and see if anyone's going to reach out to you. Nobody cares. I'm so alone. I feel so lonely. No one's coming by. No one's calling. No one's reaching out. I'm sitting here today. No one even knows the struggles that I'm going through. But I would encourage you to take that emotion and those thoughts and turn it around. Turn it around. Take it and start praying for God to help you live out your New Testament kingdom priestly calling, to fill you with His Holy Spirit, to give you wisdom about who to connect with in your local church and in this community. And God is faithful. He's going to open up the doors for you. He's going to give you opportunity to become more connected to your family, not only here at Faith, but also in this community. When people come in contact with the divine connection that's reflected in you, with Jesus in you, as that New Testament kingdom priest, they're going to see that God loves them. You know, Jesus prayed this for you, and He also prayed this for me, as He looked ahead at the task before us in our generation right here in Rock Hill, in our community where we live. John 17:20, verses 21 through 22. It's a longer prayer. These two verses here speak to us today. He says, I'm praying not only for them, in other words, those that are alive right now as He was praying, but also for those who will believe in me. That's you and me. This prayer is for you. Put your name here. Because of them and their witness about me, the goal is for all of them to become one heart, one mind, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, so that it might be one heart and mind with us. I just love how Jesus was praying for us today. It's kind of like He was saying this. May Brian connect with me. Or you can put your name there. May, you know, Chris connect with me. May Stephen connect with me. May Brian connect with me, just as I'm connected with you, Father God, so that Brian might connect with others and fulfill his New Testament priestly role of joining together lonely humanity to us. That's really what he was saying. It's this whole process. He's a kingdom priest. May I connect so that I can connect so that I can connect. That's what it's all about. It's a beautiful prayer, and he's praying that over you right now. It's not just something static in God's word, but he's praying that for you right now. Did you know that? That he's praying that for you right now. Those words are still coming out of his mouth. God, help him to connect. God, help him to connect. So you see, as you walk out this New Testament priestly role, that it helps us get our focus off of us and onto others. All of a sudden, it's not about us. I'm so lonely. Granted. But be proactive. Step out and say, okay, I don't have to be lonely. Because this is not about me. This is about what I can do for others. We were made to connect. God saw that first need in man was for companionship. He said it's not good for man to be alone. And so he created a companion, a woman for a man. And God made man for fellowship with himself. And when we disconnect from others and from God, we will experience loneliness. What's that word again that I had you write down? Refocus. Here's where it comes into play. As we take the focus off of us, off of self, and we become others-focused, we'll overcome loneliness because we'll find our purpose of why we exist. And that's to fulfill our New Testament, Levitical, kingdom, priestly roles of connecting to God, connecting to other believers, and connecting non-believers to God. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up as I close, and I want to read to you as they're coming up a story. Now, stay focused on this because there's going to be some people moving around on the stage here, and this can easily be something that you can be distracted with. So just listen to this story as they quietly slip up to the stage. There was a young boy named Bill who walked home from school with his arms filled with various things when suddenly he tripped and dropped them on the sidewalk. Books, a tape recorder, a baseball bat, a baseball glove, and two sweaters spilled all over the place. There was another student named David who was walking behind him, and David hurried over to Bill, whom he did not know, and helped him pick things up and carry them home. Bill invited David into his home. They drank a soft drink, and they watched some television, and they became really good friends. On that day, they did many things together over the next 3 years until came high school graduation night. And Bill came up to David and said, "There's something I must tell you. You remember the day I walked home from school and dropped my books and things? Well, have you ever wondered why I was carrying those things home that day? I had cleaned out my locker and I was going home to kill myself. I was so lonely and life had no meaning. I was ready to kill myself. I had saved a few of my mother's sleeping pills, and I was going to take them that afternoon. David, the day you picked up my books, you picked up my life. You saved my life." God, help us to get our eyes off of us and to get onto you.